As promised, we're going to go to a program with Dave Alvin and friends, recorded at the Longhouse in Encino, California, 6904. But first, to your host, Howard Larman.
This is Folk Scene. I'm Howard Larman with Peter Cutler at the controls from the Longhouse, Encino, California, USA. Our guests are Dave Alvin and friends.
Young boy, I used to slip away down to the ash grove to hear the old blues men play. There was Big Joe and Lightning and Reverend Gary too. But I'd sit and stare and dream of doing what they could do. But it's been 30 years since the ash grove burnt down, and I'm out on this highway traveling town to town, trying to make a living, trying to pay the rent, trying to figure out where my life went. I want to go back to the ash grove, 'cause that's where I come from. Yeah, I want to go back to the ash grove. That's where I belong. Well, you don't have to go searching, pretend to put on airs, 'cause the blues are gonna find you someday, somewhere. Now my mother's gone, now my father's gone, and all the old blues men have all passed on. And I'm out on this highway traveling town to town, and I'm setting up my gear and then I'm tearing it down. I'm turning up my guitar, standing up on the stage. I'm just trying to raise ghosts up out of their graves. I wanna go back to the ash grove. That's where I come from. Yeah, I wanna go back to the ash grove. That's where I belong. Can't say I've been all sinner, can't say I've been all saint. I've done some good deeds and I've made big mistakes. I've been in and out of love, I've said words I regret. I've been drunk, I've been sober, and I smoked too many cigarettes. And I'm out on this highway traveling town to town, and the news on the radio just brings me down. Intolerance and fear, ignorance and lies, it's the same old, I heard it a million times. times that I'm thinking of friends and lovers and how they come and go, like look-alike houses on the side of the road, full of everyday people trying to get ahead, trying to find a reason just to get out of bed, 'cause we all need something just to get us through. Well, I'm gonna play the blues tonight, man, 'cause that's what I do. I'm going back to the Astro Blues. That's where I come from. Yeah, I'm going back to the Astro Blues. That's where I belong.
Our guest, Dave Alvin, the title song from his brand new record called Ash Grove on Yep Rock Records. That's two words, Y-E-P-R-O-C, Yep Rock. Dave, it's good to see you again. Good to have you back here. And
good to be back.
And when I hear that song, I think of all the fond memories Roz and I have, and our son Alan as well, of hanging out at the Ash Grove.
Yeah, it was a great club. You know, I definitely got most of my education starting at about the age of 13 there. You know, saw everybody from, you know, the famous like Muddy Waters and Albert King and Freddie King, people like that, all the way to the real kind of wonderful stuff was when Ed Pearl, the owner, would bring in for two or three or four nights people like Johnny Shines or Juke Boy Bonner and, you know, J.B. Hutto, people like that. And my favorite double bill of all time there was Reverend Gary Davis, about 2-3 months before he passed away, and Johnny Guitar Watson, who had been arrested earlier that day that he played. And that was a great, one, study in contrast, and two, it was a great history of the blues in one night from Reverend Gary to Johnny Guitar. So,
has that song been a long time in the making?
Yes and no. I mean, I wrote it about a little over a year ago, maybe 13 months ago, and you know, songs for me are kind of like there's all these reservoirs inside of me, and every couple of years the reservoirs start to burst, and that was a reservoir burster. This, when I actually wrote it down, it was a day really out of my life, but it had been building up, yeah.
As you've been talking about the things you saw at the Ash Grove, I was thinking that this song could have gone on forever, listing all those things.
Well, you know, in a way, it's not really a song about the Ash Grove. It's a, you know, it's a song about on one house trying to write a whiny musician on the road song, and hopefully I succeeded in it, not whining too much. But Ash Grove is the metaphor for purity of that. That pure point in our life where we were pure and we were uncorrupted by ourselves, you know, by stupid things we've done throughout our life. And you want to get back to that sense of purity of, gee, remember when it all made sense? So that's what the Ash Grove is.
I guess that line about listening to the news kind of puts that in perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was thinking, did you make friends with some of those musicians early on? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the older guys were very, very, very nice and very, very patient. There were one or two who were neither, but in general they were very nice and very patient. You know, and I think my brother Phil and I got away with a lot because I was 13 and he was 15, so we were like, you know, and we were not being parentally supervised there, you know. And so we were just these little white kids that, you know, knew what record they made in 1941. On what small, you know, because my brother Phil and I were old, started at an early age collecting old 78s and all that. So we'd go up to, you know, somebody, we'd go up like Eddie Cleanhead Vincent, and, well, who was playing drums on that record you did with Cootie Williams in 1944? And they'd look at you like, I don't know. And, you know, my favorite was Freddie King played there a lot before he got sort of rediscovered. So when he was still sort of a Chitlin circuit act. And I was 14 maybe, and I went up to Freddie King on his break, and he had all these guys stand around him, and Freddie King was a pretty big man, and he had a song that I liked, or a couple of songs that were written by a guy named Billy Miles. And I was sort of teaching myself about music by reading the, you know, I'd get somebody's record, I'd read who wrote the song, and then that would say, oh, maybe this person's good, you know. This Cole Porter guy, he must have something, you know what I mean? And I remember going up to Freddie King, and the guy's name was Billy Miles, and he'd written some Freddie King songs. And I think he was just a guy that sent songs into King Records. And I went up to Freddie King, and I said, Mr. King, I don't want to bother you. Who exactly is Billy Miles, and does he have any records? You know, that kind of thing. And Freddie King was stunned. You know, like, yeah, I said, a little tiny white kid, you know, knew who Billy Miles was. I never did quite get a good answer, though.
Our guest is Dave Alvin, and his latest record is called Ash Grove. Would you introduce the other musicians here?
Yeah, the new album's very electric. There's some acoustic things on it, but it's really an electric, loud record. And Greg Lease produced it, and Don Heffington and Bob Glob and me basically make a big, nice big guitar racket on it. But for this, I decided to bring in Chris Gaffney from the Guilty Men, playing accordion and guitar and harmony vocals. He sings harmony on the record. And then to cover the soloing and the pretty stuff over here is the beautiful Amy Ferris from Austin, Texas, who I had the pleasure of recently producing a record with called Anyway that just came out also on the Yep Rock record label. And then in the testosterone corner over here is my good friend Jack Rudy on harmonica, covering all the solos that I can't play on acoustic guitar.
Have another song.
All right, let's do a song. This is a song that Chris has played and sang, and Amy and Jack have never played before. And let's watch what they do. This is a song that I wrote with Tom Russell a couple years ago, and Tom recorded a version of it on his Borderline record. And I rewrote several of the lines and changed the music and all that, but Tom and I have given ourselves carte blanche to do that to each other. So it's a song called Rio Grande. I guess she put her blue dress on and walked out late last night. Left one silk stocking dangling from the bedside light. I sobered up and called her name just before dawn. I saw her blue prints in the sand, knew that she had gone down the Rio Grande. I pulled out of Albuquerque praying I wasn't late. Got a couple cups of coffee and some joint off the interstate. Passing through Las Cruces, I swear I saw her car. She always said she'd go someday, but never said how far. Down the Rio Grande. Maybe she's in Brownsville, she's got some family there. She was always talking about the salty Gulf Coast air, where the river ends. Down the Rio Grande. I saw an old gray heron flying south against the wind. Storm clouds over Juarez rolling east to the Big Bend. And I drove down Highway 90 through a dusty desert wind. I didn't know where it would lead me or if I'd find her again. Down the Rio Grande. I lit my last cigarette as the sky began to clear. Black mountains up ahead, a red sun down in my mirror. Trapped on the border between the future and the past. One fading slowly and the other coming fast. Down the Rio Grande. Maybe she's in Brownsville, she's got some family there. She was always talking about the salty Gulf Coast air, where the river ends down the Rio Grande. I bought a bottle in Del Rio, and I parked on the side of the road and stayed up all night staring at the lights of Mexico. Then I walked down to the border bridge at the break of day, and I threw that empty bottle off and watched it float away down the Rio Grande. Maybe she's in Brownsville, she's got some family there. And she was always talking about the salty Gulf Coast air, where the river ends down the Rio Grande.
Our guests are Dave Alvin and his friends, and the album is called Ashgrove. And we were talking about meeting all those people at the Ashgrove that we got to see. It was the only place in Los Angeles you could see those people.
In some regards, yeah, some of the people, yeah. But there were, you know, I mean, it was the only place that was bringing in, say, I guess, Reverend Gary Davis, people like that. But, you know, Big Joe Turner, T-Bone Walker, like, you know, even Lightning, Eddie Cleanhead Vincent, Lloyd Glenn, Lee Allen, you know, sort of the guys that all lived out here. You know, you could go see him at the York Club on Florence, or Vina's on Adams, or the Chez Pico on Pico, or the Parisian Room. You know, just the great thing about the Ashgrove, I mean, one of the great things about it was it was one of the few places in L.A., you know, that where L.A. actually came together. You could, you know, you could have millionaires next to a guy from East L.A. or a guy from South Central, you know, and so it was sort of a community gathering place, you know. There wasn't a velvet rope out in front, I don't think.
But I've often heard people tell me, people like yourself that became musicians, that they learned a lot about life from those musicians that they met there, and they talked to them about home life and what it was like on the road. And
yeah, I think what it is you learn your survival skills from the other guys. From the older guys.
Yeah, good.
You know, it's funny. You know, a lot of the musicians I know, all the core musicians on this record, Greg Lease, who produced it, and Bob Glob, who's playing bass, and Don Heffington, who's playing drums, and me, we're all Ashgrove babies, you know. And, Ashgrove started in the late 50s, and I guess, and there was a lot of musicians here in town, you know, Ry Cooter, variety of people that learned their
Taj Mahal
learned their stuff at the Ashgrove, and we're just maybe the last, or I'm like the last generation of that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe there's another behind me, but yeah, you know, the way it was presented, you know, especially roots music, the way that Ed Pearl, the owner, presented it, you know, you had to walk into that, you know, that foyer, I guess is what it would be called, the lobby, and there was usually a gallery show of some sort of art. And it would, you know, I remember, you know, photojournalistic exhibits of graphic photos from the Deep South or something, or there would be the Maoist Cultural Revolution posters up there with the workers going forward into the sunrise. And the neat thing about that in the long run was it put the music in context, that it's not just, you know, fraternity music. It's not just let's get drunk and try to, you know, have sex and fall down and puke kind of music. You know, it can be that. but it's also it's coming from a you know, whether it's blues or bluegrass or Cajun music or whatever you were going to see there, it was being put in a context, a socio-political, historical context that, yeah, you know, was educational. And then just talking to, you know, getting to know the older musicians to some extent, yeah, you learn your survival skills, you know, and you learn, for example, that nothing lasts forever. You know what I mean? And you do this, if you're going to play music and if you're going to pursue this career, you do it out of love, you know. I mean, again, I can't say that all the musicians at the Ashgrove played music out of love, but if you're going to do it when you're, you know, Reverend Gary Davis saying it's your last few months on earth, that's why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're not doing it for any other reason, I don't think. I might have rose-colored glasses on, but I don't think so.
All of this kind of leads up to the question, is when somebody going to write a book about that place?
I don't know. Be a good book.
Dave Alvin's latest record is called Ashgrove. Was it using a lot of songs that you'd done before or in different contexts, or did you sit down and write for this album?
Well, the Rio Grande that we just played, you know, Tom and I wrote that, and there's a song on there called Nine Volt Heart that I wrote with Rod Hodges from the great New Orleans band Iguanas. But yeah, you know, for me, when I start deciding I'm going to make a record, I'm writing songs for it. Yeah, they all start working around a theme. You know, you write a couple, and then you realize, oh, I'm on to something here, and then I just write from then on. Then I'm thinking, okay, how does this, you know, what little, everything from what image can reoccur in several songs to, you know, what themes are going to reoccur, what's this album about, you know.
Our guest is Dave Alvin. You know, I know I told you the story before when I first met you, that somebody had brought me a tape of you reading poetry.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you started out directing yourself toward poetry, or...
Well, that's a nice way of putting it. I wasn't good at anything else, is really what it was. And it kind of going back to the other the question you just asked, you know, I studied poetry in college in my very checkered college career, and I had some great teachers at Long Beach State University, Elliot Freed, Richard Lee, Gerald Lachlan, that were all great poets. And they tended to teach nuts and bolts of poetry as opposed to just writing free verse and how are we feeling today, you know. It was come in here, you know, come in next Tuesday and bring a sonnet, you know, come in on Thursday and bring a blank verse. And they forced us to write in iambic pentameter and things like that. And so a couple years later when we had started, my brother Phil and I had started the Blasters, and we were doing basically, you know, little Junior Parker songs and Carl Perkins songs, and we were happy as hell to be doing those. The consensus was we couldn't get a record deal unless we had original songs. So knowing about, you know, being forced to write sonnets, rhyming sonnets, and in iambic pentameter and blah, 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 yeah. Like I said, you can teach people how to write songs if you teach them those nuts and bolts. And then say, all right, here are the nuts and bolts. Express yourself through these nuts and bolts. And so when I started to write songs, I realized, well, blues, you know, the form itself, you know, not speaking of Chicago blues or Texas blues or Georgia blues or whatever, just the blues form is a form in the same way that a sonnet is a form, haiku is a form. And, you know, and in a certain way, honky-tonk songs are a certain form, you know, George Gershwin songs are a certain form, and all you do is study the form, and then you write it.
Our guest is Dave Alvin. Have another song.
All righty. Let's do a blues. And the key is C.
Ooh, baby, black sky. Black sky is all I see. Yeah, baby, black sky. Black sky is all I see. Won't you stand beside me, baby? Shine your light for me. You know I've been all around the world. Ain't nothing that I ain't seen. From the Mekong River to the San Joaquin. You know I made it down to Helena, but it's just a ghost town. I got down to Jackson, but they tore old Jackson down. I've been around the world. Black sky is all I see. Why don't you stand beside me, baby? Shine your light for me. Well, you know I went to the graveyard to see my friend one last time. People standing around, some are praying, some are crying. They were talking about heaven and the final judgment day. But all I could do was say goodbye to him and turn and walk away. Yeah, I went to the graveyard. A black sky is all I see. Won't you stand beside me, baby? Shine your light for me. Every morning and I try the best I can to make it one more day in a world I don't understand. Now the sun may be shining, but there's darkness on the land. And I can't find my way, baby, unless you take my hand. Yeah, I wake up every morning, baby, this black sky is all I see. Won't you stand beside me, baby? Shine your light for me. Yeah, baby, black sky. Black sky is all I see. Yeah, please stand beside me, baby. Shine your light for me.
Sir Dave Alvin and friends, and we're going to ask Dave to talk a little bit about his experience with the Blasters. But first, let me tell you, you're listening to Folk Scene. Folk Scene is hosted and produced by Howard and Ross Larman, engineered by Peter Cutler. Our thanks to Stephen Barker and BBAT Productions for the use of his equipment, and to Wendy Waldman and Michael Boshiers for the use of the Longhouse. This is KPFK Los Angeles. As I've said before, our guest is Dave Alvin, and how long did the Blasters last? What years was that?
We never really formed. We sort of evolved in about March of 79 to play a wedding. A guy named Mike George was getting married. It wasn't Mike George getting married. It was a friend of a guy named Mike George's was getting married, and Mike George's friend hired a guy from our hometown of Downey named Frank Frillo, who was a great harmonica player, to put a band together and play the wedding. Well, Frank got Bill Babin to play drums and my brother Phil to sing and play guitar, and then Frank was going to play harp, and then they got a guy named Mike Kennedy to play bass, but they couldn't find another guitar player because all the guitar players who had grown up with us were either dead or in jail or something like that, and I'm not exaggerating, and And because of that, they were stuck calling in the B team, which was me. And we did the gig, and it was the rest is showbiz history. It was just magic, I have to say. My brother and I play guitar so differently that it worked. And one thing led to another. So that was March of 79. And by like July of 79, we had figured out the name. And John Bass had joined the band, another old friend of ours from Downey, playing bass. And Frank Frillo moved back to Madison, Wisconsin. And then I left the band. Well, then we had nothing but hijinks and hilarity for the next like 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then I left the band and quit officially in like December of 85.
Mm-hmm. The band went on without you?
Yeah, the Hollywood Fats, another Ash Grove kid, a Hollywood Fats, maybe the best white blues guitar player I ever knew or heard. He took over the guitar duties, and it was very funny. I went to see the band, and Hollywood Fats could play just about anything, and he was a brilliant musician, and it was so funny that my brother forced him to play my parts, mm-hmm. which is sort of like having, Da Vinci, okay, we got Leonardo da Vinci's going to do the finger painting, and then Smokey Hormel took over the guitar chair after Hollywood Fats passed away, and then when Smokey went on to become a cult celebrity of guitar dumb with Tom Waits and Beck and all those people, then James Inville took over, and now was it Keith
Wyatt?
Keith Wyatt's now the great guitar player playing with Phil in a band called the Blasters. And a couple years ago, when Rhino Records put out the complete Blasters on Warner's, the Slash Warner's records that we had made, they asked me to go into the vaults and find anything that might have been unreleased or of interest and to dig up old photos and blah, blah, blah. And while I was doing that, I thought, yeah, it's kind of silly that we can't play a few gigs together. Mm-hmm. And so then we did a few, and nobody was injured too bad in the band. And we did five gigs. By the end of the fifth gig, it was pretty close to being back in the old days as far as everything being out of control and people yelling and all that. But we made five gigs without hurting anyone. So a few months later, we did another set of gigs, and then we did the East Coast and Midwest, and then another set on the West Coast, and then last year we did Europe, and that was about it for me. that was enough Blasters for me, because for me it's like Thanksgiving. It's like all five Blasters, Gene Taylor, Bill Bateman, John Bass, me and Phil, we're all brothers. It's not just me and Phil. We, mm-hmm. Johnny Bass has known my brother longer than I have, so. we all go way back. So it's five guys that love each other and just love to bust each other anytime they get a chance. So
there is a DVD available, the reunion concert?
The last gig we did when we got back from Europe that me and a couple other guys in the band tried to cancel. We were so fed up with the whole thing that I was like, I don't want to do the DVD. Hell with that. And wiser and cooler heads prevailed, and we did a DVD that's out on the Shout label, mm-hmm. and it's got, what was neat was we got to have some of our actual heroes, people whose songs we did in the garages growing up, like Sonny Burgess, the great rockabilly singer and guitar player, and Billy Barnold, the great Chicago blues harmonica player, and then two of the guys from the Medallions, and my cousin Donna, who turned us on to R&B when we were 4 or 5 years old, giving us a Medallions record called Buick 59 that's still one of my brother and I's favorite record, and then two guys from another West Coast doo-wop group called the Calvanes, and so to have like actual guys whose actual songs we did, and did throughout our career, it was really special. And we didn't suck. We were pretty good, I think, on the DVD.
All the time you were in the Blasters, you were the songwriter for the Blasters, right?
Yeah, it was either me or a dead guy. Yeah, we did a lot of dead guy songs, so, yeah, I was the living songwriter of the Blaster.
But your brother was the singer.
Yeah.
Now, as I understand that the story is you left to pursue a solo career.
Well, so sort of. I left because I couldn't take it any longer. the band doing it, it just stopped being fun. And if you're going to play this type of music, there's got to be an element of fun involved. And it had really gotten to the point where we were all yelling and screaming nonstop. And there's a place for yelling and screaming and that kind of energy, but not all the time. So I quit the Blasters after walked off stage at a very bad gig in Montreal that had just descended into chaos, and got on a plane the next morning and flew to New York to do a gig with John and Exene from X to do a Knitters gig, which was our sort of country folk side project. And I showed up to the sound check, unsure what my future held, and their guitar player just quit X. So the first thing they said is, "You want to join X?" And I was like, "Okay." it just got to a point, though, where I couldn't write songs anymore for someone else to sing, you know. You can write songs for somebody, you know, if you want to sing one of my songs, fine, sing it, that's fine with me, but I can't sit down and say, okay, I got to come up with 11 songs for someone else. I'm just, you know, you run out of things eventually that you share. With, you know, when I was writing songs for my brother, I had to write songs where he would say, he could look at the lyrics and say, oh, yeah, I can relate to this, you know. Mm-hmm. And so just to really, I think, advance as a quote-unquote songwriter, you got to be thinking of yourself first. At least I do.
Our guest is Dave Alvin, accompanied by a...
Burt Bacharach and Carole King disagree vehemently with what I just said, but they're pop songwriters, and I'm a folk songwriter, so...
Okay, Dave, what are you going to do next? What song?
We'll do a song that's... Off the new record, Ashgrove, and it's a song called The Man in the Bed. The man in the bed is in me. Now I slipped out the door and I'm running free. Young and wild, like I'll always be. The man in the bed is in me, and these trembling hands, they're not mine. My hands are strong and steady all the time. They can swing a sledgehammer, pursue the baby that's crying. These trembling hands, they're not mine. Now the nurse over there doesn't know that I ain't some helpless old so-and-so. I could have broken her heart not that long ago. But the nurse over there doesn't know that the man in the bed isn't me. Now I slip out the door and I'm running free. Young and wild, like I'll always be. Well, the man in the bed is in me. I've always been. I'm the kid who rode the rails through the Great Depression. I fought in the big war and marched for the Union. I'm the man I've always been. So don't believe what the doctors say.
just making things up so they can get paid. It ain't me they're talking about anyway. So don't believe what the doctors say. The man in the bed is in me. And I slipped out the door and I'm finally free. Young and wild like I'll always be. Now the man in the bed is in me. Now the man bed is in me. Now the man in the bed is in me.
Guests are Dave Alvin and friends. Dave's album is called Ashgrove and it's on Yep Rock. Two words, Y-E-P-R-O-C. And I'm glad you listeners asked because Dave does have a website. It's davealvin.com, D-A-V-E-A-L-V-I-N.com. And you can get an insight into Dave Alvin. When you were writing for the Blasters, were you writing songs that you wouldn't sing, just your brother would sing?
Well, I would sing them when I wrote them, and then I'd sing them at rehearsal so he could learn them and get a handle on it. And then once he would take over singing, I mean, once he started singing the song, that was it. Yeah, I never sang it again unless it was, you know, in the shower.
But you did record on your solo album.
Yeah, years later, yeah.
My solo songs albums. You wrote for the Blasters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you always want to get it right. You know what I mean? There's always something, oh, we didn't get it that way.
Well,
and then in certain cases, there were songs, you know, like there's a song like Bus Station that was on the Can California CD. And the Blasters did an okay version of it. It's okay. But it wasn't really the way I wanted it to sound when I wrote it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So when I recorded it, you know, years and years later for Can California, I was like, okay, now I'm going to do the version that it's supposed to be. And the same was true with, say, Border Radio. I like the Blasters version. You know, and it's a good song to dance to, but it didn't tell the story that well, you know, musically.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to get it right. You know, and I've taken a couple of hits from some people, you know, regarding re-recording stuff, but the way I look at it is, you know, Duke Ellington re-recorded Black and Tan Fantasy, I don't know how many times, and Charles Mingus re-recorded Goodbye Pork Pie Hat, I don't know how many times, and I'll do that too. you know, because in a way, especially when you're a touring musician, you know, there are musician songwriters that don't tour. They'll put out an album and they'll go out for 3 months and then that's it. Then they go back and they go to. But when you're a touring barroom musician, as I am, you're playing your songs every night and that leads to constant reappraisal and reinvention of the songs, you know. And, you know, just day-to-day living does that too. Aging does that. When you write a song at 21 and then you're 20 years later, you're looking back at it going, gee, maybe I meant, you know what I meant?
And brings up the question, one of the things he said when you take a hit is like people tend to, for a songwriter, if you re-record songs, they say, oh, that's it, he's drying up.
It's like, yeah.
That's the kind of hit you're talking about?
Yeah. Usually songwriters don't say that, though.
Because they know better.
They know better. Yeah, you know, your songs are, you know, I can only speak for myself. I mean, I know lots of other songwriters, and these kind of things have been, you know, we discuss that kind of stuff. And you know, I think as long as you're, you know, if you're moving and evolving musically, you know, if you're, you know, while staying true to who you are and all that, you got carte blanche to do whatever you want, you know. You can't stand still, and if you're taking a song that you wrote when you were 24 and you're doing it 20 years later, you're doing it differently. Every night Bob Dylan goes out on stage, you know, and he has to do like a Rolling Stone, and he has to do Blown in the Wind. Well, guess what? He's going to do it differently each night.
Right.
And he's going to constantly be going, what is in like Rolling Stone that I've never done before? You know, and so sometimes you do something and it's like, you know, like I said, if you're evolving as an artist, all your new songs are old and all your old songs are new. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Our guest is Dave Alvin. Now, on the album Ashgrove,
yeah,
Greg Lease produced it. At this point, you've worked so much with Greg Lease that he must know what you want before you tell him.
Greg is a bit of a genius, Greg Lease. And for those of you out there in the radio land who don't know his name, you've heard him on every other record in the past 10 years. He's played guitar or pedal steel or lap steel on.
Yeah.
He's an amazing musician. I mean, in every genre imaginable, from folk to blues to country to, you know, everything from Joni Mitchell to Smashing Pumpkins, you know, Wilco to Bill Frisell,
yeah,
you know, to Katie Lang to movie soundtracks with big orchestras and you know, to pizza commercials, you know, whatever it is, Greg has done it, and he's one of the greatest musicians that I know, you know, and I've known in my life one or two. He's up there with Lee Allen or David Hidalgo from Los Lobos or Amy Ferris here on the fiddle or Jack or Chris. He's one of the greats. And Greg is also very intuitive, and he does this not just with me, but with everyone he works with. I think he's able to see things that we don't see about ourselves, and strengths and weaknesses that we don't see. And so every time I work with Greg, I learn something. I learn something about making records. I learn something about how to play better, how to sing better, how to do everything better. So, and I've known Greg since I first met him in 86, and I put together a band called the All Nighters as a side project, yeah, when I was an ex. And at that time, Greg he was doing six nights a week in the Southern California country bars, six nights a week, five sets a night, playing pedal steel. And since then, he's become this monster, and it's wonderful to watch Greg become an international celebrity, you know. So,
our guest is Dave Alvin, who, if he isn't already, will be an international celebrity as soon as we get him internationally touring here. Have another song?
Yeah, let's. You know what? We've been doing all songs from the new CD Ashgrove. Let's do one from a couple CDs back. Let's do a song called Abilene for our little Texas flower over here, Amy Ferris, to play on. Leaving the great Northwest, and it's taking her tonight back down south to Texas. She's been dancing on tables to pay rent and be able to just get by and maybe stay clean. Abilene, 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 Abilene. Well, her daddy'd get drunk, and then he'd hit her hard. And her mama'd lie in bed, high on pills and talking to God. But like her beautiful tattoos, these old memories she can't do. And she ran away at 15. Oh, Abilene, Abilene, there's a town ahead there you've never seen. Maybe it's better if you get off there and try to forget everything. Abilene, staring out the window,
at the long cold night. Ahead on the horizon is another string of bright lights. She's dreaming of a man she's going down to meet in a bar on an Austin street. Maybe this one won't be so mean. Oh, Abilene, Abilene, there's a town ahead there you've never seen. Maybe it's better if you get off there and try to forget everything. Abilene.
Thinking of this girl he swore he'd wait there for. He's drinking his beer and he's feeling old, remembering every lie he's told, till he changes his mind and he leaves. Oh, Abilene, Abilene, there's a town ahead there never seen. Maybe it's better if you get off there and try to forget everything. Abilene, Abilene, oh Abilene,
Austin, Texas's own Amy Ferris on the fancy fiddling there. Oakland, California's Jack Rudy on the harmonica, the tasteful understated harmonica, and of course the king of Hawaiian Gardens over here, the beautiful singer, guitar player, accordion player, Mr. Chris Gaffney.
And a fine songwriter in his own right.
Oh, a great songwriter.
Our guest is Dave Alvin. As I'm looking at the back of the album, the Ashgrove album,
yeah,
and it says exclusively licensed to Yep Rock.
Yeah.
Does that mean you own everything and just...
Yeah. It's the first time, the last couple blasters that we did, two live CDs of the reunion tours, and the blasters own those. And, but this is the first time I sort of went into debt to make a record and own it. And it should be worth it. At this point, like I said, I went into debt to do it, but... called in favors, this, that, and the other, and at my age, you know, which is I'm not the oldest guy in town, but it's just I've been around enough to realize I should own my masters at this point, you know.
And I'm gathering everything else before this is
owned by
somebody
either,
else.
Yeah, either Hightone or Warner Brothers or, you know, whoever. Yeah.
Our guests are Dave Alvin and friends, and I forgot to mention Dave Alvin is a Grammy winner.
Since the last time I've been on your show, yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's a very big deal to me.
Well,
it would have made my parents, it would have made all the old 70s, scratchy 78s being played full blast at 3 a.m. in the morning when we were teenagers, would have made it worthwhile for them.
We have time for one more song.
Okay. Well, seeing how I won the Grammy for an album of traditional songs that I didn't write, let's do a song I didn't write. And I don't know who wrote it. I don't think anybody knows who wrote this one, but usually they think Mississippi John Hurt wrote it. So we'll say he did. Won't you make me down a pallet on the floor? Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me a pallet down soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. I ate my breakfast here, my dinner in Tennessee. I ate my breakfast here, my dinner in Tennessee. I had my breakfast here, my dinner in Tennessee. Ain't no telling where I'll be. So won't you make me down a pallet on your floor? Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me a pallet down south and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. Jack Rudy from Oakland, California. Well, now don't you let my good gal catch you. Yeah, don't you let my good guy catch you here. Yeah, she may cut you, may shoot and stab you too. Ain't no telling what she'd do. So won't you make me down a pallet on your floor? Make me down a pallet on your floor. Yeah, make me a pallet down soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. Amy Ferris from Austin, Texas. Well, somewhere tonight, Peter Kaysen, Chris Smither, and Bill Morrissey. And guys, this one's for you. Yeah, don't you ever drive a stranger from your door. Don't you ever drive a stranger from your door. Don't drive no stranger, honey, from your door. It might be my brother, you never know. So won't you make me down a pallet on your floor? Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me a pallet down soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. Our last time for folk scene. Oh, make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me a pallet down soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. loose.
Dave Alvin and friends, thank you so much for stopping by. And
thanks for having us.
Keep making those good records.
Thank you. Amy Ferris, Jack Rudy, and the great Chris Gaffney.
That was Dave Alvin and friends there from 6904, recorded at the Longhouse in Encino, California.